Well, thank you, Sir Nicholas, for that. I've been asked to speak today from 1 Kings chapter 3. I didn't choose the reading. I wish I had, because it's not only is it very familiar, but it's actually quite apposite for the situation in which we find ourselves today. If I can set the scene with a bit of context, Solomon has just succeeded his father David as king. Solomon has dealt with the opposition quite firmly, you might say. He's secured his throne. He's now a man of influence and authority and some wealth. But when God tells him to ask for whatever he wants, he makes a request that would surprise many in our culture today. Instead of asking for riches or fame, as we've heard, he asks for wisdom. Wisdom from God, and he gets it in no uncertain terms. It's interesting, he's immediately tested in this area of wisdom. He has to make a tough choice. I encourage you to read it and see what it says. But he acts very wisely, and eventually it says, all Israel saw that Solomon had wisdom from God. And he grew in that wisdom, because later on it says that all the kings on the whole earth heard about Solomon's wisdom and sent people to go and listen to it. So he certainly got it in spades. And of course, through that, he gets fame and fortune as well. The whole earth sought audience with him. The Queen of Sheba came, all these kind of things. He had astonishing wealth. It said he was the richest king on the whole earth. And for me, this story is a typical God thing, because most of us, if we were honest, would ask for riches or fame or whatever, because we are told that money is power. But God's way is different. God's way is that if you ask for the right thing, you get everything else anyway. And that's confirmed in the New Testament when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you anyway. So there's lessons here for all of us. Here's a couple of thoughts I had in preparing this. The starting point, I guess, is we need to acknowledge that we need help. The Bible tells us earlier on in the letter of James that if we lack wisdom, if we lack know-how, we should ask. And there's the problem for most of us, especially men. It's a problem. We don't admit our need. How many men sit in a car and keep driving instead of stopping and asking somebody the way? You've all seen it. We don't like asking for help. And many of us are like that. Yet we all know we need wisdom. We need wisdom. Power without wisdom, without knowing how to use it properly, is dangerous. Everyone knows that. Authority without wisdom just brings chaos. Wealth without wisdom brings folly. A fool soon parted from his money, we know that. And knowledge without wisdom just brings confusion. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. And here from the King James, I'll just confirm that. Proverbs chapter 4, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forsake her, she'll preserve you. Love her, she will keep you. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? If we need it, we ask. Second thought I had today was, what sort of wisdom are we talking about? Because there's all sorts of wisdom. There's fool's wisdom. There's old wives' tales. There's superstitions. All that stuff. There's conventional wisdom. For many years, we were told the earth was flat. We were told the sun goes around the earth. We were told Leicester City couldn't win the Premier League. Conventional wisdom. Then you have worldly wisdom, as we heard in the second reading. And elsewhere, the Bible warns us about worldly wisdom in no uncertain terms. And we need to be careful in case we fall for it. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, this is actually hollow and deceptive philosophy. You need to be careful. It says if you're not careful, it can take us captive. It can cheat us. It can spoil us. So we need to avoid the wrong sort of wisdom and seek a different sort of wisdom, what the Bible calls pure wisdom. So that leads me on to my third point is, well, where do we get this wisdom? Well, fairly obvious. Solomon asked God, and it's self-evident, I think, that his wisdom is going to be higher and above everyone else's wisdom. It's a Jesus sort of wisdom. If you go to the New Testament, Jesus himself
is described in 1 Corinthians 1:30 as our wisdom from God. So as an aside, there's a shortcut. If you want to get wisdom quickly, get Jesus. Rob will be very pleased to discuss that with you afterwards if you'd like. So the Bible calls God's wisdom pure wisdom. Why is it pure? Because it's untainted by human tradition. It's untainted by self-seeking. It's untainted by wrong motives or misunderstanding even. So what does it look like? And how do we live it out? Well, there's many scriptures. We've heard, I think, in the second reading, a modern paraphrase that I think sums it up really well. Let me just read some of it to you. The heading is Live Well and Live Wisely. Do you want to be counted wise? Do you want to build a reputation for wisdom? Well, here's what you do. You live well, you live wisely, and you live humbly. Because it's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Further on it says, whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart. Everyone ends up at each other's throats. We've seen that recently too. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life, and it's characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle and it's reasonable. It overflows with mercy and blessing. It's not hot one day and cold the next day. It's not two-faced. And here's the bit I like. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results if you do the hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and with honor. Well, it's a pretty impressive reading, and I think there's more than a few in Parliament could have done with knowing that in the last few weeks. What we can see there, what I really want to pick out, is how the Bible links godly wisdom with character, with humility, and how we behave. And it's actually, theologians would say that wisdom in the Bible is actually seen as the practical side of moral goodness, which leads to a better society and a healthier community. So today, my prayer is that we, every one of us, could admit our need. When we need wisdom, we can ask for it. Secondly, we discern which wisdom we're looking at and we seek the best. And thirdly, we ask God. And may I just add to that and say, and you've got to keep on asking, because Solomon started well, but later in life he relied on his own know-how. He relied on human wisdom. He relied on what seemed right at the time, and it turned out a disaster. So I'm sure we all want pointing to prosper. We want our nation to prosper. So let me read again the final verse of our second reading, and we'll just apply that in prayer. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and with honor. So, Father God, I'm asking today that you'll help every one of us to admit our need, if we have one, to look for the right sort of wisdom in the right place. Father, if any have been taken in by false wisdom, by worldly wisdom, I pray that you will bring clarity and understanding in that area. And Lord, we pray for our community here in Poynton, that this would be a healthy, robust community. It would be a place where people get on with each other. It will be a place where people continue to treat each other with dignity and honor. Father God, I pray that for us all, and I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.